Acts chapter 26 again, please. Some more of these words that Paul preached to King Agrippa and to that great company that day. Verse 22, Acts 26, 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And here we have a synopsis of the gospel that he preached, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people, and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before him also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost, and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I would like to follow on where our brother has left off tonight and to spend a few minutes pondering these tremendous words of King Agrippa once again. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And we believe that Paul recognized that everyone that would be a Christian finally will be brought to that condition. For he said, I would to God that everyone that is listening to me as I preach the gospel were not in the state of indifference that Festus is in, who is saying that much learning hath made me mad, but that they were almost persuaded, and not almost, but altogether. And so every one of us here, there was a time when we had no thought whatsoever. And then there was another time when God so spoke to us that we came out of that state of indifference, and we were almost persuaded. And then there was another day when we were altogether persuaded to become a Christian, and we received the Savior, and knew our sins forgiven. But the most of people, we believe, that come to the state of being almost persuaded, are in grave danger, as King Agrippa was, of drawing back and missing God's salvation. If there's nothing sadder in all our experiences in preaching the gospel as to see people brought, first of all, when they attend, they have no concern whatsoever, and then by and by, they show anxiety, and some even consider it and wait behind and speak about being saved. And then, alas, they draw back, and they miss Christ. And they are never again stirred up to the same degree. You see, someone in our gathering could be missing salvation tonight for all eternity if a few have decided and have received the Savior and have been born again and their destiny has been settled under this canvas roof. There may be others settling on the wrong side and leaving the tent without a Savior and missing Christ forever. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now I'm going to use this text tonight and make a few applications from it in a very simple way that everyone could see. First of all, when King Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, he was acknowledging that he needed to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He was acknowledging his need of being a Christian. He could see that he was not a Christian. You know, one of the great difficulties is that most of the people that come to meetings like this, their idea is, we are all Christian. We live in a Christian country, don't we? Isn't the United States nominally a Christian country? Unlike every person in this meeting believes the prophets. You see, King Agrippa, even Paul recognized he was a believer of the word, in the Word of God. It's a great thing when we're preaching to people that believe the Bible. Paul said, I can speak freely to this King Agrippa. I'm not so free to speak to Festus. He looks upon it all as nonsense. And I can speak freely to Gallio, one of the governors in whose presence I was a little time ago. He cared for none of these things. But here's a man, and I can speak freely to him, for he's a man that believes the Bible to be the Word of God. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. This man is a believer in the Bible, and he believed the things that Paul was preaching, but he was not a Christian. You know, there's a wrong idea in the eyes, in the thoughts of men, that because it's a Christian country and my father was a nominal Christian and I was baptized as a Christian and I've always believed the Bible to be the Word of God, I'm not an agnostic or an atheist or a communist. I believe the Bible is true and I believe all the Word of God is true and I accept it and I believe that Jesus Christ was in the world and that he died on Calvary for a world of men. Well, that's not being a Christian. Now, what is a Christian? Now, the first thing that you have got to discover if ever you're going to be a Christian is this, what King Agrippa obviously knew, that with all the knowledge he had and all the background he had, he was not a Christian. The first mention of this wonderful name, the only proper name that believers have, by the way, in the Bible, is Christian. And the first time we have it in Acts chapter 11, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And the word Christian means a Christ one. It means one that is joined to the Christ. And none of us were joined to the Christ when we came into the world. The Bible says, wide is the gate, Matthew 7, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And every one of us, whether born in a home of believers where our parents were Christians, or whether in the darkest place on earth where the gospel has never reached, we all came into the world non-Christian. We were not linked with Christ. We were linked with sin and death and ruin. And in that condition, we could never enter heaven at all. No man is a Christian by a natural birth. And so, if you have not had the experience of finding out that you are not a Christian, and that's very hard for people to understand. Man will never be saved until they are lost. And you will never be saved until you find out, I'm a lost sinner, and I'm without God and without Christ. I know about Jesus Christ, I've always heard about him, but I have never been linked with him. I have never known what it is to rest entirely upon his work to save my soul. And I've never known that he died for me as an individual. And every one of us saved here, there was a day that we found out, I'm the sinner, and I need God's salvation. And then we learned, there's nothing I can do will ever save my soul. The day that I was saved, I thought, he has left me out, and I'll never be saved. I can't see it for the life of me. And I've tried to work it out, and I've plotted it, and I've wondered about it, and I just have to go to hell. And at that moment, I realized Christ died for the ungodly, and I'm one of them. And I realized for the first time that he died on that cross for me as an individual, as if I were the only one that had ever sinned against him. He died in my guilty place upon Calvary's cross. Now, have you ever seen that when you were linked with the Christ? Now, this man, he saw his need of it. He realized Paul is a Christian, and I know the Christians, and I'm almost persuaded to become a Christian. He saw his need of being a Christian, and that's a very hopeful thing when a man will acknowledge, I'm not a Christian. You see, there's some likely in this meeting and you've got an old empty profession that you made in childhood, but it never saved you from the world. It never cleaned up your life. And you're living here, and no one believes you're a Christian. You may say whatever you like. A man that's living in sin and practicing iniquity, and his tongue is filthy, and he's going in for the old godless things that are around us, and there's no love for the Lord, and there's no evidence in his life that he has been born again. It's only a poor old empty shadow that will never take you to heaven. If you're going to be saved, you'll come out into the open, and you'll say, I have nothing for eternity. I'm a lost sinner, and if I die in my bed, I plunge into hell and the lake of fire. My name is not in the book of life. And I tell you, if you get a hold of that into your heart, you'll not sleep too soundly in your bed tonight. The day that God awakened me to see this thing, that hell was real and heaven was real as we've been hearing from our faithful brother, and that the book of life was real, and it's for eternity. If I miss this thing, there's no coming back. You see, 5 minutes out of the body, the destiny is settled. And if you make a mistake about this, there's no remedy. You can make a mistake about many a thing here, and through the kindness of neighbors and the goodness of people around you, these mistakes can be raveled out and unraveled, and you can get on your feet again. But if you miss Christ, man, and die in your sins, it'll be too late. 5 minutes over the boundary line, you'll never come back, and you'll have lost your soul in hell, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And that's what I faced as a boy of 19. I recognized it, I realized it, and I said, this is awful. Dreadful thought if I would miss Christ and go down into hell and the lake of fire, a poor lost sinner, to cry forever and weep and wail and gnash my teeth and never be saved. Friend of mine, that's a real thing. Now, everyone that ever got saved, the first thing they owned was this. I'm not a Christian, and I need to be. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The man saw his need of being a Christian. Now, the next thing that I learn in this text is this, that while he saw his need of being a Christian, he hesitated to become one. He hesitated. It's a solemn thing when people hesitate. And they know it's the right thing. I need to be a Christian. And they can do one of two things. They can come back to the meetings and learn more, or as they listen to the gospel, they can believe it. But the devil is very busy, and we believe in a real devil. You know, to hear people making fun of Satan, I never like to hear men making fun of Satan, or trying to make out that there's no devil. There's a real devil. And there's one thing I'm sure about. He's intent in blinding your eyes and in keeping you in the dark and in leading you on and on and on until you perish and die without a Savior. We used to sing an old hymn that made me tremble when I was unsaved. Satan hath desired to have you for his lawful prey. Satan is very busy today, blinding the eyes of men, deceiving them, and telling them there's no hell and there's no heaven, and sin is not near as bad, and the old preachers are dying out, and soon there'll be no one preaching the word of God in the old-fashioned way. Soft peddling things and seeking to flatter men on the way to hell. We are not here to entertain. Today, evangelism is a great big entertainment. Today, modern evangelism is a great big social event. We are here under this tent, and we realize that we're here for eternity. We'll likely never be here again. Our days of preaching will soon be done, and the last day will come. I often tell my wife, maybe this is the last time I'd say goodbye and close the book at the end of this tent series, 1989, and pass over into the presence of God. But there's one thing I want to do while I'm living and while I'm able, is to warn men that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and if you die in your sins, you'll perish. You'll never enter heaven, for only blood-washed ones are there, to ransom and forgiven. But Satan says, time enough yet. Time enough yet. He hesitated to become a Christian. Why did he hesitate to become a Christian? He hesitated because of the woman he was living with. Wasn't his wife at all. He was living in whoredom. He hesitated because of the society in which he moved. Many a man is not saved because he's afraid of the world. Our brother read that solemn word tonight in Revelation 21 and 8. The people that will be in the lake of fire. Sorcerers. People that dabble with evil spirits. Whoremongers. Unclean men. We're living in an unclean world. What do you think the police are up number 5 doing at the rest center? Arresting whoremongers. We're living in an unclean world like the days of Sodom. And people are becoming accustomed to it. We would have to teach moral truth out of the Bible today. People are all mixed up in their unclean living. You think you'll go to hell as a whore? Go to heaven as a whoremonger? You'll never be in it. The Bible says no adulterer hath eternal life. We're living in an age of iniquity of all kind. Around us on every hand. Drunkenness. The Bible says no drunkard hath eternal life. Can't go to heaven if you're a drunkard. You'll not go to heaven if you're a liar. You'll not go to heaven if you're unclean. And you'll not go to heaven if you're fearful. Heading the list is not these various sins that are mentioned in it, but it's the fearful. That's just simply a man that's afraid of his neighbors and afraid of his wife and afraid of his companions and afraid of his old school chums and afraid of what the boys will say down at the corner. I'm not going to be saved. The fear of man has ensnared him. If I were to come out into the open and confess Christ as my Savior and clean up my life and the old companions change and I'm with the Christians in time, thank God I'm with them. I'm glad every day that I'm numbered with the redeemed and that my worthless name is in the book of life and heaven is my home for eternity, friend. What about you? You're here tonight and there's not a breath of God in your soul. You've never known the joy of sins forgiven. You've known Christ, the Holy Spirit, is not indwelling you. And the blood has never been applied. And you're sailing on down to hell as fast as time can take you. And listen, you could travel 100 miles and there's hardly one would tell you. This today. Friend of mine, let me say to you honestly, might almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. You're hesitating because of the world and pleasure and sin. And you'll never be saved until you turn from that evil thing that's binding you. And from those evil companions that's holding you. And you'll put your 2 feet down. It takes a man to face reality. As far as man's saved concerned. It takes a woman with determination. Every one of us saved here, we made up our mind, whatever it will cost me, even my right hand. The Bible says, better to go into life with one arm, with one hand, than go into hell where the worm will never die and the fire shall never be quenched with 2 hands. Maybe there's something your hand is working on. Some place your foot is taking. Some evil thing that has obsessed your mind and is leading you on down that broad way, and you're held captive by it. I want to tell you there's only one person in the world that can break that chain that binds. The precious blood is the only remedy for a sin-sick soul. And there never was a soul yet that came honestly. See, people are not saved because they're not honest. First time I was ever honest in my life was the night God saved me. When I came out into the open and I said, it's perfectly right, God is right, and I'm all wrong. And I can't save myself. And there is a heaven to gain, and I want to be there. And I dragged these things out into the presence of God, and I said, there's what I am, a lost sinner, deserving nothing. If I die, I go to hell. And I come, claiming that blood that was shed on Calvary. And I said, wash me, and I shall be white and snow. No wonder Charlotte Elliot penned the lovely words, just as I am. without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And if you came in that old-fashioned way by your bedside tonight, and came out into the open and told God, I'm ruined, I'm wretched, I'm the chief of sinners, I'm just a poor, guilty, hell-deserving, ill-deserving sinner on the brink of eternal ruin. I may bluff the neighbors and bluff my friends and put a face on it, but my heart is wretched, and I've never been saved, and I've never known the joy the Savior gives. I'm coming out to confess it tonight before God, and I'm getting to Calvary and have it settled in the old-fashioned way. Do you think he would turn you away? You'll be the first sinner that ever came with his head down. Today they're asking sinners to walk and talk and raise their hand. And all. The night I was saved, my hands were the same length, and my mouth was shut, and my head was down, and I realized I'm lost. All the pride is gone, and all the fun is gone, and all the games are over. It's time now to face eternity. And God, I'm glad I faced it in time. I wouldn't get saved now at my age. Very few people get saved at my age. I'm glad I had it settled long ago. The old account was settled long ago. Thank God for Calvary's bleeding Lamb who shed his blood upon the tree and who died for a sinner like me. And I tell you a secret. I bring my conversion up to date every day. Not what I believed away back then as a boy. What do I believe right now? I quoted this to a girl outside the tent last night as she said she would like to be saved. I am a guilty sinner. I was a guilty sinner, or I am a guilty sinner. But the most important but in all the world, but Jesus died for me. Blessed Lamb of God, sweetest name on earth, the friend of sinners, took my guilty place upon the cross. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He knew he needed it. He hesitated to become one. He had an opportunity to be a Christian. When the gospel was preached by Paul, and when the gospel's being preached, that's your golden opportunity to become a Christian. And when the saints are praying, some of you in this tent, you may not know it, but your name was mentioned in that bus again tonight. Woe betide a person when the saints stop praying. Whenever the believers have no burden about you and your name, you know sometimes names are mentioned for prayer, nobody prays for them. I'm glad that before I was saved, there was a number of old sisters in Ireland that prayed for me. And I knew it. I knew they were praying. I knew when I was away in the Air Force that there were people at home in the little prayer meeting. And they were praying that I would be preserved and that I would be saved. I'm so thankful that they didn't give up praying. If they had stopped praying for me and the Spirit of God had withdrawn the burden, you see, we can pray as a duty for people. I pray for people because their parents ask me to pray and I do it as a duty. But I really haven't any heart in it. I should. But there's other people and they rise before us at night in bed and we see them sitting in the tent. I don't know. You don't know anything about that. But as I preach, I keep my eyes on everyone that's here. And I could tell you pretty well in this meeting who's interested in salvation. Who's not? And there's some faces that rise before us and they're here tonight and we pray to God and we long to see them saved. They burden our hearts. Woe betide you when the saints stop praying for you. This man is under the influence of the Spirit. He's not saying this in a casual way. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He knows the right thing. Now think of the loss of Agrippa at not becoming a Christian. He was only a step from salvation. Only a step. But he missed it. Saddest thing in the world for a sinner to look back from hell and say, I was almost there. You know, there's people in hell tonight never sat in a gospel meeting once. You say, that's terrible. There's people in hell tonight that never heard the Savior's name. You know what Jesus said about them in Matthew 11? He said of the men of Sodom had heard the preaching that he was doing along the Sea of Galilee, on the shores of Galilee. They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. What he's saying, there's people in hell, and if they had had the opportunity that you're having, they would never have gone there. You know the deepest place in hell is the place that Christ rejects or goes. Better to have died in your mother's knee. Better to have died in the long grass of an African jungle. Better to have died before you reach the age of understanding, for there was provision. To grow up in a Christian home and of a godly mother, and to know the gospel all your life, to leave the Sunday school and a text that you won or a Bible with your name on it, reminding you of your childhood days. And that Bible and those texts like John 3 and 16 will haunt your memory in the fire. And when you stand at that great white throne, you will say, I need never have come here. I was in a gospel tent. I heard I needed to be a Christian. I heard, moreover, that Christ died that I could be a Christian, and that none need perish. And if I came as a lost sinner and trusted him and rested in the merits of his blood, his Holy Spirit would make my life anew, would enter in. I would be born again. I'd be given the new life that I need to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'd live for God and go to heaven when my journey's done. Think of the casket when screwed down on the face of a Christ rejecter. Think of a body been laid into the clods of earth without a Savior from a gospel meeting like this. Think of one that was almost persuaded, waking up on the wrong side of that fixed gulf, lifting up his eyes as many are tonight, spending their first moments in hell, never to be saved. Cry aloud, the harvest is past. Summer is in. You're not safe. We leave this tent tonight. May we leave another way. May we go out in the fear of God and feel these things and realize them to be true. And if you're unsaved, you'll go to your car and you'll go home wherever you're going. If you want to wait and see us, but you'll make sure work before you lie in your bed tonight. How do you know but your soul may be drifting, young man, over the deadline tonight? Where would you be in God's eternity, down this side here, over here, down here tonight? Where will you be when the last day has come and the journey's over? Will you go out into hell? Or will you rise to heaven? You'll never be there unless you come as a lost sinner and trust Christ as your personal Savior. May God help you to do it right now. Jesus. Our Father, we bow humbly in thy presence. We realize that this is no child's play, what we have been trying to do tonight here. It's a real thing. It weakens the body, and it gives us sleepless nights as well, to warn men faithfully of their need, to tell them of that awful judgment day that our brother has so plainly read, to point out that whosoever will may come, but whosoever is not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. And to tell them of a Savior's love and a home above. And to seek to persuade them not only to be almost persuaded and near the kingdom, where many were once as near heaven as them, but they lingered and lost their day. They're weeping and wailing and wandering now on the shores of the castaway. And they'll never be saved. O God, write the solemn words of this old text on someone's heart tonight. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In the name of our Lord Jesus, save some mother's son, we pray, for Christ's sake.